This is Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman. Over the next hour, Mark will break down geek speak into street speak so you know what's hot, what's not, and why.
Hey everyone, welcome to Tech Talk. Hope you're all having a great weekend so far. It was so awesome to have my three kids all home from university last week. Always look forward to that time together. In fact, we drove across the border and shopped for a couple of days, you know, to see different supermarkets and clothing stores and eat in different restaurants, ones we don't have in Canada. We haven't done that in a long time. It was great. But hey, we have such a packed show for you this hour that I'll keep the small talk off the top of the show to a minimum. We have five guests who will each spend some time on the show to talk tech with us today. We'll kick things off with a possible cure to potentially deadly food allergies. After that, LG will join us to talk about its rebranded customer service and care business. Then we'll talk with GMC and Buick from the 2024 Canadian International Auto Show in downtown Toronto over the last couple of weeks. Epson will join us to chat about its rapid receipt scanner that could quickly digitize receipts, perfect for tax time. And if that wasn't enough, D-Link stops by to talk about its new wireless router that they've got. Whew, no rest for the weekend, huh? Anyhow, all of this on an all-new Tech Talk powered by Chevrolet Canada, which I'll tell you more about shortly. But let's officially kick off the show with our first interview. Chances are someone in your family has an adverse food allergy, perhaps one that can result in an anaphylactic shock, which in some instances can even lead to death. Well, aside from avoidance and carrying around an EpiPen, what else can you do? Well, we're now going to hear about the first medical tech company to use AI, artificial intelligence, to diagnose and treat food allergies, including a new tolerance induction program to help those with food allergies. We're joined by Dr. Inderpal Randhawa. He is with the Food Allergy Institute. Thanks for your time, Doctor. Good to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark. Happy to be here.
Before we talk about the solution, let's identify the problem. How prevalent are food allergies today, or at least potentially fatal ones? Interestingly, I find that the issue is getting worse than it was when I was younger. I mean, I used to be able to bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to school, but I don't think you can do that anymore.
No, you're absolutely right. The problem is getting worse. You have roughly about 1 in 10 children in this country have a serious food allergy. You have, roughly speaking, about 35 million adults who have severe food allergies. And unfortunately, this lands people in the emergency department roughly every 1 to 2 minutes and does result in very serious events. We're talking near fatal events, if not fatal events, about 40 to 50 of those a month in this country. And it's, again, a real serious problem.
He's referring to the U.S., of course. But interestingly, the doctor tells me that hundreds of his patients come from Canada for treatment, which we'll get to in a moment. And to what do you attribute this? I mean, why do you think allergies are worse today? Any thoughts on that? I mean, two of my three kids carry EpiPens. And I've researched this, and I can't find an answer. Is there a leading theory as to why it's worse in the 21st century than it was, say, 40 years ago?
Sure. I'd say, you know, generally when you're looking at a problem like this and it's increasing in incidence over time, it's either genetic or it's a disease that's being transmitted between people. And if it's not one of those two things, it ends up being environmental. Everything we've seen so far points to this being an environmental problem. And what that means is many of the things that people are anaphylactic to, peanuts, tree nuts, things of that nature, have biosimilar proteins in the ambient environment. So think about pollen, think about things that are in the air. And as climate change continues to get worse, we've had a global increase in pollen counts. Everywhere where there are more people, there's more pollen. And this has resulted, I believe, in a direct link to why food allergies have gotten worse.
So let's talk about your work, Doctor. What does the Food Allergy Institute do exactly?
Well, the Food Allergy Institute has been well established now. My work directly is about 2 decades old, but we established the Food Allergy Institute in 2015, and it has treated over 15,000 patients with food anaphylaxis, taking them from a point of having this disease state where they have to carry around EpiPens to a point where they have remission, where they can consume those foods openly and easily without a risk of reaction. That is all purely built on technology. This is very much machine learning, AI, full stack builds starting in about 2008. And it's been really my life's work. And this has allowed us to take the immune systems of individuals and build proper databases. It allows us to study these actual foods that one could be allergic to, peanuts, tree nuts, et cetera, And we've been able to build databases of the actual protein sequences and the immune systems of these individuals and use that data to not only give them a proper diagnosis, but forecast them into the future to a point of treatment and remission.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to ask you more about that AI in a minute. This is a tech show after all. But at a high level, a tolerance induction program or TIP, is this similar to, I guess, like exposure therapy where you slowly introduce the culprit, in this case, the allergen, like a tree nut, slowly over time in order to build up a tolerance? Is that, in a nutshell, pardon the pun, is that how it works?
Yeah, actually, I'd say it's vastly different. So my background is that of a transplant immunologist. That's like doing organ transplants and lung transplants, things of that nature.
Okay.
I applied that approach to this approach of the tolerance induction program about 2 decades ago. The concept of desensitizing somebody has been around for 150 years. We do it for things like, allergens in the air. We do that with allergy shots and things of that nature. But every time that's been attempted, this exposure desensitization therapy for foods in the last 60 years, it's never been able to accomplish two things. One is it doesn't apply broadly to all the patients who have really bad food allergies. A very small percentage of those patients can even try it. And the ones who do, they never get to a point where they can actually fully consume the foods. So it tells you the complexity of the problem that is there. And that's where really the AI side of things came in to solve the problem.
So, do you mind clarifying then what the tolerance induction program is all about?
Absolutely. So what we do is we actually cross-match biosimilar proteins. And I'll just give you an example, if I may. You take somebody who's anaphylactic to peanuts. We have sequenced all of the major protein sequences of peanut, about 17 of them. We know what type of testing is necessary to measure the immune response to those 17 parts of peanut. We then identify their biosimilar proteins in totally different types of plants. So, for example, it might be a seed like pumpkin seed, or it might be a legume like chickpeas. And we will then actually, based on an individual patient's analytics, expose the patient to those foods. So actually those biosimilar proteins, we will do that for a series of months. And before we ever give them peanuts, we've cross-matched and downregulated the immune system. So that person who has a peanut value that's very high is now dropping their peanut value by 50 or 70% before we ever start to actually give them peanuts. And at the end of that, we can actually give that patient roughly 3/4 of a cup of peanuts without any clinical symptoms.
Oh, wow. We are chatting with Dr. Inderpal Rendawa. He is with the Food Allergy Institute, and they're leveraging artificial intelligence to diagnose and treat adverse food allergies. You're based in Long Beach, California?
That's correct.
So again, this is a tech show, so I just want to ask you a little bit more about the AI. So your company is being billed as the first to use machine learning, which is a subset of artificial intelligence, to help your patients. Can you break it down for us in plain English?
Absolutely. So everything comes down to data science and data sets. And, if there's one sector that has a lot of it, it's healthcare and medicine. Unfortunately, most of medicine doesn't operate around the concept of building data sets around a single disease. That's where I started when I tried to solve this problem. So we first built the data sets, which have to be built, as you know very well, in a very clean and longitudinal fashion. This started back in 2005. We built these very, very large databases across plant proteins, animal proteins, and the immune system proteins of an individual person. We then had to continue to collect that data over time. By 2011, we were in a good position. We had treated about 1,000 patients, and we had, roughly speaking, about 50 to 75 million data points, let's put it that way, where we could actually start to build our first machine learning systems. Fast forward to where we are today, where we've again treated over 15,000 patients. This now machine learning system is built into 3 different AI systems. These AI systems are controlled by human operators, but what they do is allow us to draw the blood of a patient, run those hundreds of biomarkers into our AI system. We'll give the patient a proper diagnosis and then actually forecast how many cycles of treatment they need to get to a point of remission. And an example I give to somebody is, imagine if you went to a doctor and said, "Well, I have something simple like high blood pressure. I would like to know when I would actually be in full control of that blood pressure with which combination of treatment or medication." That doesn't exist today, but we've taken a very complex disease and have accomplished that successfully with about 15,000 patients now.
And what percentage is your success rate among those 15,000 patients?
It's well over 99%.
Wow.
And that's example. It's a great example of what AI can do in healthcare if it's built right.
So with that in mind, what's next for you and the Food Allergy Institute with this program?
Our number one goal is to get this treatment out there to the patients. We have many, many patients who fly from other states and other countries to see us. We are expanding another site, hopefully at the end of this year, into the San Francisco Bay Area and beyond. That's our first goal. But I'm most excited about our second goal, which is to, now that we understand what tolerance induction is and all the AI that gets us to that point, we are looking at actually getting to a point where we can remove the need to carry an EpiPen, essentially a curative state. So we want to go from remission to a curative state, and I'm absolutely excited about that.
Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Randhawa. Very exciting news. You know, this is a fascinating topic. Thank you for taking the time to break it down for us. Thank you again. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Tech Talk listeners, what do you think about this technology? Or if there's any listeners in the medical community, if you've got some experience here, why you think it works or it doesn't work, would love to hear from you. You can hit me up on social media. It's Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman. I'm on X, formerly Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok, and others. Again, it's Mark Saltzman. Or you can send me a note at my website, marksaltzman.com. Send me a note to let me know what you think. When we return on Tech Talk, we're going to learn about the brand new LG Care Q. This is a rebranded customer service division within LG Canada, born out of feedback from customers, whether they have TVs and other home entertainment solutions, appliances, and maybe LG Graham laptops or monitors and so on. Also on the program today, GMC and Buick from the Canadian International Auto Show. We've got Epson standing by and D-Link as well. A packed Tech Talk for you. So stick with us. We'll be right back with LG. Stay with us.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak. You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman, Canada's go-to tech authority for the past 25 years. Here's Tech Talk.
Chances are you have LG appliances in your home, home entertainment products, and even LG laptops and monitors. And now the company is rebranding its LG customer service and support in Canada to what will be known as LG Care Q, created out of feedback from customers like you. Joining us to explain what LG Care Q is all about is Gary Mangra. He's Director of Customer Experience Improvement at LG Canada. Welcome to the show, Gary. Good to chat with you. It's a pleasure to have you on and talk LG Care Q. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Yeah, great to be here, Mark, and thank you for having me.
From what I've seen, and this is brand new, and it's for our listeners, by the way, LG Care Q. The Care Q is spelled capital C-A-R-E, capital Q. That's how it's stylized. From what I've seen, this new rebrand is positioned as a next step for LG's customer service experience. So what was the motivation for this rebranding, Gary?
Yeah, that's correct, Mark. I mean, being a leader in technology and innovation, I mean, we always take pride in keeping that life's good promise. And we felt that rebranding to the LG Care Q was basically vital in extending this experience to our customers. And we really wanted to show our customers a more personalized experience.
People may not know that LG stands for life's good. Love that. So for existing LG customers, what would be the biggest change they could expect? And what's included under the new LG Care Q name?
You know, this is really an expansion of what was already previously known as LG Canada Support. So the main intent was, like I said, just to provide a more personalized experience and a new identity to customer care and support. So in terms of what falls under this, it's basically what the offerings that we've always had, such as the flat rate program, you know, that's known as the LG Care Q at a warranty program, an extended warranty program, and that's known as the LG Care Q protection plan. We have our LG Care Q direct technicians, which are LG employees that actually do in-home consultation and repairs to LG products. Included in that is also our authorized service providers, you know, that can offer diagnosis and quick access to replacement parts and things like that. So it's really an extension of what we offer the consumer base.
I love that, by the way, with many of your smart appliances like dishwashers and dryers and stovetops and fridges and all that, that people think the key benefit to having a smart appliance is that you can control it all with an app or your voice, or, you know, be notified when laundry is done, that kind of thing. And that's all cool. But I love the self-diagnosis element. If you don't have that, then often you have to spend money on a technician to come to the home in order to diagnose it. Then they need to come back with, like, let's say it's a part that needs to be replaced or something like that. I love that with a lot of your smart appliances, that can be all done remotely because it can remotely talk to LG to self-diagnose the issue. And that way you're already one step closer if there happens to be an issue, which I really like. That's just a bit of a side note and observation. I would agree though, Gary, it is important and helpful for customers to know that this exists, this new CareQ platform. How could folks at home access LG CareQ?
Well, you know, LG CareQ can be fully accessed through our website, lg.ca. We have all of our offerings there. We include things like WhatsApp, our call center access, the LG Virtual Assistant. We also have a sign language option in partnership with Assign Canada. We can help support our SMS and, of course, you know, the overall in-home experience. So I think the one-stop shop for customers is just accessing our website, lg.ca, going to our contact us and choosing whatever they feel is more comfortable for them in order to get that LG CareQ experience.
SMS, of course, just means text messages or short messaging service. We're chatting with Gary Mangra. He's Director of Customer Experience Improvement at LG Canada. We're learning about a new rebranded customer service and support experience in Canada called LG CareQ. You know, as a techie, Gary, I'm the first to admit that technology can often be overwhelming. And so I always prefer a streamlined experience. And I think Canadians appreciate a forward-thinking company standing behind their products. Could you give us some insights into what customer care means to you and the company and what you think are the most important elements here?
Sure. I mean, to me, as a customer myself, it's peace of mind. When I buy a product, I want to have peace of mind to know that should anything happen or if I need assistance, you know, the company is there for me. And I think that's what LG CareQ is really about. It's offering customers a personalized experience. Not all customers are the same. Some people like things certain ways as others, you know, do. So that's what we try to offer. And that's why we give customers a lot of choice. The best thing for being a customer is LG offers choice, right, as resolution. So I think that peace of mind, just knowing that should something happen, LG's there for you and we can provide you the best possible experience.
So Gary, our listeners are probably aware of ThingQ, which is your smart and integrated platform between multiple LG products. That's T-H-I-N capital Q. So now we've got CareQ. What's the thinking behind the naming convention?
Well, I mean, you know, you're right. The Q actually connects back to the ThingQ ecosystem. And, you know, a lot of customers are already familiar with that. So, I mean, we really base the LG CareQ on those types of guiding principles. And that includes things like quality service, addressing, you know, qualitative feedback from our customers and the ability to understand our customers' complex questions. It also providing the guarantee of working with our qualified team and resolving challenges as quickly as possible. So it's a lot of cues there, but, you know, that's kind of where we're bringing that cue from. It's really providing all of this for our customers.
And again, a personalized and streamlined experience is, I think, the key takeaway here. Thanks so much for your time, Gary. Where can we learn more about LG CareQ and access these services? You said lg.ca?
Yeah, I think that's the best place to see all about it. Go to lg.ca, click on our support page, and you'll see all about it on there and all the access to all of our offerings.
Gary Mangra has been our guest. Thanks so much for your time, Gary. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
As promised, I recorded this interview from the Canadian International Auto Show last week with Buick and GMC. Have a listen. Well, as we heard last week on this program, General Motors had a huge presence at the 2024 Canadian International Auto Show, and that includes two of its major pillars, GMC and Buick. As a techie, there's a lot to like here, including electrified trucks and SUVs that we're going to hear about right now. I'm standing with Daniela D'Souza. She's Buick and GMC's brand director. Good to chat with you for the first time, Daniela.
Thank you so much, Mark. Nice to meet you as well.
Now, before we talk 2024, I hear GMC had record sales last year. Congrats. I guess Canadians have a love affair with trucks and SUVs. Is that fair?
Honestly, Mark, numbers don't lie, right? GM had record performance in terms of a share and volume last year, and GMC contributed to that success. What we know is from the Canadian market, GMC is doing extremely well. We have a fantastic lineup of full-size SUVs, compact SUVs, and mid-size SUVs, and not to mention our fabulous trucks that we have here at the auto show as well. From a numbers perspective, like I mentioned, GMC has the number one retail spot for share in the heavy duty segment for Sierra. Yukon had a fantastic record performance, number one in share, almost 40% of that segment is with the Yukon SUV. And looking at 2024, we're going to keep that momentum going. Right here at the auto show, we have the limited edition, Omega edition of the Hummer EV. We have the Sierra EV available as well. And then we have the all new GMC Acadia AT4 here. So we're really upping our game in the SUV space, and the Acadia is going to be a big player in that.
And you could probably hear some doors slamming around us because people are not just kicking the tires on these vehicles, but they want to sit behind the wheel and look inside the truck beds or climbing in. So forgive the ambient noise here. Let's start off with that Hummer EV pickup, and also tell us about that limited edition Hummer EV Omega that we're standing beside.
You know, GMC has a great claim. We are the only three EV truck brand in the market. So we have the Hummer pickup, we have the Hummer SUV, and we have the Sierra EV. And here at the auto show, like I mentioned, we have the special edition Omega available. It has a one-of-a-kind Neptune blue matte finish. It has an extreme off-road package. It has all the features you could imagine, all built in. And the best part is it's coming to our market. It elevates what Hummer brings. So for example, we had launched the pickup earlier. We launched the SUV, and this now adds the next level to Hummer in the electric truck market.
Who would you say the brand, the Hummer brand, is for exactly?
I would say if you're a person who is looking for an off-road adventure, who is technology driven, and who cannot wait to get into an electric truck, this is the truck of all electric trucks.
So it is a stunner. I gotta say, we're standing right beside it. It's
and I'm
just jaw dropping.
If it looks good from the outside when you get behind the wheel, it's a completely amazing experience. Every Hummer that's coming into Canada, we're selling out. So we know this is gonna make a big impact to GMC and in the electric truck space.
We'll continue chatting with Daniela D'Souza from GMC and Buick while I was at the Canadian International Auto Show. So stay with us. We'll play a bit more of that interview. Then we're going to jump to Epson to hear about its rapid receipt scanner just in time for tax season. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tech Talk, where you won't need a Geek to English dictionary to tune in. Welcoming back our host, Mark Saltzman.
If you're just tuning into the program now, we're chatting with Daniela D'Souza. She is the brand director for Buick and GMC. We'll get to Buick in a moment, but we're talking about what's new from GMC for 2024. We've been hearing what the outside of the new Hummer EV, an electrified version, looks like. Let's now turn our attention to the inside of the vehicle, Daniela.
Well, it's decked out with all the bells and whistles. For example, we have the Crab Walk, which you can check out online on what that looks like. We have the Watts to Freedom, 1000 HP. 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds. It has off-road capability as well. You can see some of the aggressive styling there from the wheels, from the underbody camera, and it has even things like Super Cruise. So hands-free driving, that's technology that GM has introduced. So it has that, and then like you mentioned, from an interior perspective, when you sit inside, you're really surrounded by a beautiful infotainment center, and it has a wonderful driver information center. So as you're experiencing, you know, some of that technology like Watts to Freedom, it's an immersive experience when you get into the Hummer.
What kind of range can you expect, both from the limited edition Hummer EV Omega and the Hummer EV pickup?
So going from an SUV to a pickup, you can get anywhere from 505 to 570 kilometers of range. So
right.
Yeah.
So that's maximum based on many variables like terrain and weather.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's, I mean, from we have the 3X trim available in model year 24, and the pickup can go up to 570 kilometers.
Awesome. I have to tell you, Daniela, my wife Kelly loves her Yukon Denali XL, and I understand this year marks 25 years of Denali. What's new in the Sierra and Yukon Denali space, and have they gone electrified as well?
Well, firstly, a big thank you for Kelly to being a loyal GM customer.
And people giggle because she's only 5'2", so when she hops out of a Yukon XL, people kind of chuckle, and she's I know.
Well, as a short person, I can identify, and I love the Yukon as well. And like you mentioned, we're going to be celebrating 25 years of Denali this year. So if you're thinking premium styling, design, quality, we know that, you know, at the pinnacle of that is Denali. What else do we have to offer with GMC this year? A couple of great things. Number one is we have the all new Acadia AT4X here at the auto show. So what we've done is we've taken the vehicle and we made it bigger, badder, bolder. If you're thinking, can it get 3 hockey bags in there. I think we can even push 4 hockey bags in there. And when you look at the interior, for example, it has the new infotainment system. So if you look at our trucks that we launched recently, the Sierras, and if you look at now the Acadia, you'll see a very similar interior design feature. Added to that, we will launch Super Cruise on our SUVs with the Acadia.
Okay. Yeah, again, I'm a huge fan of Super Cruise, and we are a GM family, I got to tell you, not just my wife, but I drive a Cadillac and my parents both drive Buicks. So why don't we end off on that, actually, Daniela? Let's hear what's new from the Encore family, the Envista, the Envision, and the Enclave Avenir.
Well, Buick is definitely going through a transformation. Last year, right here at the Toronto Auto Show, we did the global reveal of the Encore GX. That was earlier in the year. Then we launched the Envista. It's our new entry nameplate in the premium SUV space. And then we did a sneak reveal of the Envision. So later this year, you will see the Enclave, which we did a peek earlier in January as well. If you're looking for the freshest lineup of SUVs, Buick has it. Another thing that Buick's coming off is record performance. Double-digit growth, over 40% increase in volume year on year.
Wow.
And what we're doing is we have the SUVs that the market's looking for. If it's not just your grandparents' car, if your grandparents had it, we love those loyal customers. But with the new features that we have for Buick and the new styling and the design refresh and the technology in the vehicle, we're seeing that growth is also with new younger audiences coming to the brand who are looking for that SUV with all the bells and whistles.
You had me at technology. Where could we learn more about these GMC and Buick vehicles?
You can definitely follow our social channels and go to Buick Canada, gmccanada.ca. Sign up. You can build in price, get the latest offers, and stay updated to the news that's coming out for both these brands.
Daniela, great to meet you and chat with you. Thanks for the interview. Great to see you. Have a great rest of your show.
Thank you, Mark. Likewise.
Well, it's tax time, and so many of us are scanning receipts and invoices, but the smart solution we're going to hear about now is ideal all year round, I'd argue, as it can really save you some time and aggravation. I'm referring to an Epson Rapid Receipt Scanner. We're going to learn about it right now with Carrie Fox, Director of Scanner Product Management at Epson America. Welcome to the show, Carrie. Good to chat with you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Great chatting with you, too.
Why don't we start at a high level? What is the Epson Rapid Receipt Scanner family all about? And I see Shaquille O'Neal using one on your website. So if Shaq is using it, I'm intrigued right out of the gate.
That's great. Yes, Rapid Receipt is the only current solution specifically designed for organizing and managing your receipts and invoices. It's a fast, easy, and smart combination of both hardware and software that helps you accurately manage the receipts and invoices by providing an easy method to digitize them and organize the information within the receipt.
Got it. Now, I have an Epson all-in-one. I have an EcoTank. So what I need to do when I scan a receipt or an invoice is I just open up the flatbed scanner lid. I put the receipt face down, press a button, I digitize it, and it's maybe wirelessly sent to my computer or to a thumb drive or something like that. As the name suggests, Rapid Receipt. So can you do more than one receipt? Is it like, does it help you automate that process?
Yes, it absolutely does. There are a variety of different products in the lineup. So the desktop version in general would help you do 100 at a time.
Wow.
So very quickly do 100 at a time. And what's different versus a multifunction printer is that the software extracts the information from the receipt.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just getting an image of the receipt. You do get that, but you pull key data out of it, like the vendor name, the date, the total spent, the tax from within the receipt, and that is organized into the software for you.
Very cool. Yeah, I think that's called OCR, or optical character recognition. So it does all that work for you that you otherwise would have to do manually. So I like that. I'm just trying to envision it. So is this similar to like a fast photo scanner that Epson has, where you can just load it up with a ton of photos and it very rapidly digitizes all those photos, but now it's doing this for invoices and receipts?
Yes, it's very similar, but unique software that's differentiated, that each have their own unique software that pulls that information. Yeah, but yes, very similar value proposition.
Awesome. All right, so Carrie, walk us through how it works. Let's say I have a shoebox full of receipts. I was procrastinating. I didn't scan these previously. Now it's tax time. How do you load up all those receipts and invoices and such?
It's super simple. So you take your, you can take a variety of different sizes of receipts or invoices, by the way, and do it all at the same time with our Rapid Receipt desktop model. Mm-hmm. And basically you load it in there. You can choose a variety of methods of doing it. You can do it straight from your desktop. You can use the LCD that's on the product to start scanning. You can scan it to a USB thumb drive and take it on the go with you, or do it straight to your desktop. And the other cool thing about this is, so basically you load it, you scan it, it saves an image of it, it extracts the information into key categories. You can adjust that information if you choose to do so. And on a click of a button, you can basically export that information to third-party software such as QuickBooks, Quicken, TurboTax, and more. So if you're using those tools to manage your financials, you don't have to re-enter them. You just export it straight to it.
Super handy. So who would you say this is for then, Carrie? Is it for business owners, including entrepreneurs like myself, self-employed people?
Yes, absolutely. So really the key beneficial person would be individual business owners, as well as very small businesses, which are basically businesses under 5 employees. There's millions of these businesses out there.
Sure.
So, you know, things, realtors, plumbers, painting crews, contractors, a variety of different industries, basically just people that are wearing multiple hats and managing a variety of responsibilities. And these people, they tend to be time constrained, right? And they'd rather focus their time on value areas that are driving their business growth versus managing a bunch of paperwork and receipts. So it's really to help streamline these things for those individuals.
Got it. I can even see somebody, even if they're an employee for, let's say, an enterprise level company, like a huge corporation, if they're responsible for filing their expenses, I can see this also helping those folks as well.
Absolutely. You know, speaking from personal experience too, when you're on a road trip for work, you end up with a lot of these receipts, and you can digitize and organize them very quickly. Another thing Rapid Receipt Scanners can do is enable you to quickly and easily digitize a variety of different documents. And you can create searchable and editable PDFs out of these documents to allow you to easily find them after they're digitized. It also includes software to manage your business contacts and quickly and easily extract the information from those.
And where's the best place to buy these scanners?
At Staples, and you can find that at staples.ca.
And then the best website to learn more?
Epson.ca.
Carrie Fox, great to chat with you. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. You too.
Epson.ca to learn more about the family of Rapid Receipt Scanners. When we return on Tech Talk, we're going to sit down with D-Link to hear about its new wireless router for your home. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tech Talk, powered by Chevrolet Canada. Tech out its electrified Chevys at Chevrolet.ca. Hey, what's the glue that holds all your tech together at home? The answer, of course, is your Wi-Fi, which gives all your devices access to the internet and the ability for everything to work together too, like asking your smart speaker to turn up the temperature or to lock the front door. Well, D-Link is a global leader in the home networking space, and to hear what's new from them, we're joined by Pete Marino, Director of Marketing at D-Link. Hey, Pete, thanks for your time today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
Before we talk about what's new, and we're going to focus on two models, the M30 and the M60 as well. Tell us a bit about D-Link, the company.
Sure. So D-Link's a networking company. You know, you sort of mentioned there, we've been designing and manufacturing connectivity devices like routers, Wi-Fi routers, Wi-Fi extenders, switches, smart home devices like cameras and water sensors for over 35 years. Mm-hmm. You know, we have solutions for both the home and small business, as well as commercial products that, you know, offer solutions for SMBs and school boards and even enterprise companies.
All right. But we're going to chat mostly about regular consumers and the Wi-Fi that they have or need to upgrade in their home. So without further ado, let's learn about the D-Link Aquila Pro AI M30. It's a bit of a mouthful, but I know there's a lot of technology here. So tell us about the M30.
Sure. Well, the M30, it's a mesh router. It's under our new Aquila Pro AI family of devices. And so sort of as the name says there, this line utilizes AI, an AI engine to help people get better Wi-Fi in their home. So basically, you know, everywhere from like prioritizing devices on your network to actively searching out for the best Wi-Fi channel to reduce interference. The AI is in there really to to make your Wi-Fi better, right? Without you having to tinker with it. Mm-hmm. But the M30 itself, it's a, you know, like you said, a pretty big name, an AX3000 Wi-Fi 6 mesh router. The AX3000, just so everyone understands, sort of represents the speed, right? So this router, it's a dual band router, can hit combined speeds of up to 3 gigabits. So it's a pretty fast router. But, you know, one of the big things that we focused on with this is a big pain point, which is really coverage, right? So, you know, a single M30 unit can cover up to 2,800 square feet. And what's better is, you know, it's got a special advanced antenna design. So most routers in its class, they have 4 antennas, right? So this one has 5 internal antennas, and that extra antenna is actually on the 5 gigahertz band. So for those who don't know, that's the faster Wi-Fi of the two bands. So it really results in, you know, not only more coverage, but faster coverage, which is pretty cool. And on top of that, this sort of 5 antenna design, what's sort of cool about it is if you look at like a normal router, typically they have this donut shaped pattern for the coverage zone, which is, you know, pretty standard. But the M30 creates more of like a 360 degree spherical shaped coverage zone. And what makes this sort of important is now if you think about placing a router in the middle of your home, you know, with this donut sort of coverage, you're covering a level, maybe getting a little bit above, a little below. Well, with this, you know, 360 degree spherical shape, you're actually, you know, shooting Wi-Fi up and down. So it's great for houses where you have an upper level and a basement and you have the router in the middle of the house.
Yeah, I like that. And it's a mesh system, as you said. So just to bring everybody up to speed, you've got the ability to add more these PUCs or nodes or bases, if you want, around the home. I think they're called access points, in order to broaden the coverage even further. Should you have a larger home or maybe an older home that has like concrete walls and other obstacles like that?
Yeah. So yeah, that's the great thing about this M30 is it can be a standalone router. But if you need more coverage, yeah, you can mesh it with other Aquila Pro devices. So whether it be another M30 mm-hmm. or, you know, the upcoming E30 mesh range extender, or even the, you know, the bigger brother M60 router. So it's a really, it's a grow as you need solution. And I think that's what's cool about it, because sometimes, you know, you might buy a mesh system in a 3-pack and sometimes it's overkill, and that's actually worse for your network when you sort of have too many nodes in it. Mm-hmm. So it's great to be able to go, hey, I bought one, hey, I need a bit more coverage, get a second one, and then grow as you need it. You can sort of experiment in that sense, right? But I mean, it can grow from, you know, that 2,800 square feet up to 7,000 square feet, wow, right? Depending on your...
Before we talk about the design, because I think it's really cool, just for our listeners, if they already rent or own a router with an internet service provider, it doesn't matter, right? You could still use this D-Link Aquila Pro AI M30 by connecting it to your cable modem box.
100%. I'm actually doing it with mine. So, you know, it's definitely can be leveraged with your existing Wi-Fi modem, Wi-Fi gateway, whatever it is that right. You have, or even, you know, technically another Wi-Fi router.
Speaking of design, Pete, let's talk about this really cool look of the M30. In fact, D-Link has a fun YouTube video all about it. Since this is radio, let's explain what it looks like.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely a cool looking router. A lot of attention to detail was put into the engineering of the M30. To visualize it, it's a matte white router with internal antennas, and it's about 7 inches wide. But it has this really contemporary look to it. It's almost like a sculpture design in a sense, right? So imagine almost like wings wrapping around the top in a sense, right? So it's really, really cool. And then some people say, well, who cares about the design, right? But here's the thing, like, you don't want your router tucked away in a corner or hidden behind stuff in your house. Really, to get the best way to get good Wi-Fi in your house is to place your router out in the open. So there's a science around the signals and why that's the case, right? But we designed a router that almost looks like a piece of art. So I think people feel more comfortable showcasing it out in the open. Mm-hmm. I mean, we sort of joke here. We sort of say, like, you know, Wi-Fi with style with this one. And, you know, that tagline really fits in this case.
Because it's got broad range, you can even access the internet outside of your home in many instances, right? You play on your tablet on a backyard deck, like in the summer, sit on the front porch, you should be able to have that kind of range.
Exactly. I mean, it depends on your square footage, and that's why a grow as you need mesh system, I think, is perfect for that kind of scenario, because, you know, you could start with the router, the single unit, and sort of see, okay, how is this, you know, working for me? And then it's like, oh, there's a zone out in the back of the yard where it's not quite getting there. And then, you know, you can add a second unit to extend to where you need to be.
What about how many devices it can simultaneously handle?
You know, that's always a tough question, because it really depends on, you know, what you're doing with the devices and the bandwidth. It's a Wi-Fi 6 router. The whole premise around Wi-Fi 6 is to be way more efficient with the Wi-Fi. It's hard to give an exact number, but this, I think, is like 4 times what you would have gotten with a Wi-Fi 5 router.
We are chatting with Pete Marino, Director of Marketing at D-Link. We're learning first about the Aquila Pro AI M30 router, now available. And we're going to now pivot and chat about the D-Link M60. Is this also part of the Aquila Pro AI family?
It is, yeah. So the M60 looks exactly like the M30, just slightly bigger, but it's a powerhouse of a router, right? So as the name, again, once again says, it's AX6000. So really it's a 6 gigabit per second router. So really fast. And it's also, you know, what's cool about it is it's got like the 2.5 gig WAN port. So just again, so people understand, that helps you if you've got more than gig speeds coming into your house, you can take more advantage of, right? Because you have a faster WAN port where you connect the, you know, your modem into. It's got all the same features pretty much as the M30, except in this case, there's 8 antennas. So really strong range. You can, once again, meshable. So you can go from, you know, 3,000 square feet up to 8,000 square feet using this product. Really, really, once again, powerful. All the same traits. Like, it's got all the AI features that really make your Wi-Fi super reliable and powerful in the home.
So I was going to ask you then, how do you decide between the M30 and the M60? Presuming the M60 is more expensive as well. But so it's not if you have a larger home, is it if you need faster speeds, like you are streaming 4K video or you're a hardcore gamer? Or is there other reasons why you'd go with the M60?
Yeah, so I think, again, one of the big reasons is if you're getting faster internet into your home, take advantage of that, right? Take advantage of the 2.5 gig WAN port. Both are fast, but really, yeah, if you got multiple gamers in your house, you know, you may want to step it up to the M60 for sure. From a coverage perspective, right, it's a little bit more. So, you know, if you really need get heavy, heavy coverage, you know, it's another reason to step it up, but it's very powerful. So, I mean, I think both routers, like, and then a lot of it comes down to price point too, right? Where someone's comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, purchasing a router at and what makes sense for their family. But yeah, ultimately, you know, I would say the M30 is perfectly fine for, you know, a family of four and you're streaming and you're doing Netflix, 4K, you know, playing some games. And then, you know, if you got some people really, you know, heavy into gaming, there's maybe more people in your house, the M60 is definitely a step up.
All right. And then speaking of pricing, where can we learn more about the M30 and the M60?
Yeah, the best place to go is dlink.ca.
All right. dlink.ca. Hey, great to chat with you, Pete. Thanks so much for carving out some time to talk. All the best.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we wrap up another episode of Tech Talk, while we often talk about new technology on this program, it's important to properly recycle your old tech, your end of life electronics. Simply visit recyclemyelectronics.ca, type in your postal code or your address, and you'll find one of the many drop-off locations near you. After all, when it comes to your tech, what's inside counts. By responsibly recycling your end-of-life electronics, you're keeping them out of landfills and the waste stream, and you're helping to recover and recycle valuable resources. When it comes to our devices, the future is literally in your hands. That website, again, is recyclemyelectronics.ca. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the show. Hope you enjoyed it, and I look forward to catching up with you next weekend for another episode of Tech Talk. Bye-bye for now.
Don't forget to tune in to Tech Talk next weekend for more tech news you can use, interviews, reviews, and how-tos. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman.